everyone, and welcome to the We Have Spoken podcast. Brand new season for the show, season 4. We're going to be doing the Marvel series, the first Marvel animated series, What If. Now, we're a week late. Didn't get a chance to record last week, so to make up for that, this episode will feature our recap of episode 1, Captain Carter, and today's episode that just dropped. When you're listening to this, it'll be yesterday's episode, but we're doing this fresh. I just watched it. I didn't get a chance to watch it this morning, so I just finished watching it, and now we're talking about episode 2 of What If, the T'Challa episode. But first, Mike Grimion here with me. Mike, how have you been, dude?
I've been all right. We have some business to attend to first before we get started.
Ah, okay. I mean, we need to catch up anyway. It's been a while.
Since it has. It has been a while. First and foremost, I have to admit that you were right and I was wrong.
No, you didn't have to do that.
I do. I'm a man that stands by my word and my convictions. I said that I didn't think What If was going to be as integral in any way to the new phase of the Marvel Universe. I thought it was just going to be offshoots and kind of fun, let's look at kind of things, similar to what the comics were.
Yeah,
you know, but there was an article that came out, I don't know, maybe about two weeks ago, and they specifically said, What If is a way for people to see variant timelines based on the new multiverse MCU, and it came directly from the people that are making the movies and the shows, so
yeah.
There is no better source material for that, and I bow to you, sir.
You don't need to bow.
I'm not actually bowing,
no,
people.
No,
there's
no
way.
No,
I'm sitting in a chair. I'm not bowing.
No, I thank you. I appreciate that. I was talking with someone a few weeks ago as well who was kind of, well, not a few weeks ago, literally last week after Captain Carter dropped, just talking about the show. He thought it was kind of lackluster because he is a fan of the comics and was expecting those storylines. And I'm like, how can you expect those storylines? They're going to, the trailers have shown you they're focusing on the MCU. And like, these are the direct results of what happened with Loki and the timelines branching off. And he didn't think that the first episode was as good as it could have been. And with that, we will jump into episode 1 of What If with Captain Carter. Now, with these episodes, and Mike, you can correct me if I'm wrong and feel like we just need to stick to the pattern of how we've done this show. I don't feel like we need to go blow by blow with these episodes.
No, because a lot of it is a rehashing of storyline that we already know. We can,
yes,
kind of taper or, sort of mold it into the new story based on the changes or the variants,
yeah,
if we're going to use same terminology throughout. So what we do is we start off with the What If, as Steve Rogers is chosen to be the super soldier. He is there at the site. They're getting ready to do the experiment. He is in the machine.
Well, you have to get to the important part for that, which sets this whole story in motion. When they ask, the doctor asks Peggy if she's staying on the floor.
Right, well, that's what I was saying. So he's in the machine, and
he was already
in the machine at,
okay,
this point. So he's in there, and the doctor asks her if she would, adjourn to upstairs. And she says no, so she's going to stay on the floor. Now, here's where, and I could just be being super anal about this. I don't remember her going upstairs being a factor in the rest of the group going upstairs. Because they all stay downstairs.
Yeah.
None of them go up to the top in the movie. And I went ahead and watched this scene because I'm an asshole and I'm crazy about shit like this. But they all went up there. They were all in the viewing area up at the top.
Yes.
The generals and the people and the so-and-sos and the spy that we don't know is a spy yet. Or the Hydra guy that we don't know is Hydra guy up there. They're all up at the top. If she would have stayed on the floor, they should have still been up there.
Agreed. That is the one thing I noticed as well. Like, why? Because she decided to stay down there. Maybe they were like, well, if this woman's staying on the floor, then we're going to stay on the floor, too.
So are they a bunch of fucking six-year-olds?
Well,
if she got to stay, we want to stay.
You know, it's...
Well, that's what it is.
Yeah. It's the military and these macho guys and these other agents.
Well, I mean, that stuff plays out later once she gets through, but...
That could be the genesis of it. They don't go into that, but it could be the genesis of why they
do. I think if this is the deal, right, we're supposed to see a single choice making a change.
Yeah.
Her single choice to stay on the ground floor shouldn't have made that big of a change. Should not have made the rest of that group stay. Also, in First Avenger, the guy does not set the bomb off until he knows the machine works.
Yes, so this experiment works.
He knows the experiment works. He sees him, and then he goes, nope, can't have no more of this shit. Boom, sets it off. This time, before the experiment starts, he decides now to do it. Okay? So that's the what if. I mean, they didn't really stick to what I think they should have stuck to. You know, if he's up there and she's at the bottom and it's everything else is the same, I, if there was going to be a reason for him to be on the floor, then his decision of setting off the explosive before the before they do the experiment doesn't make any sense either, because that's not how he did it the first time. He wouldn't have blown his cover just on the off chance that it was going to, you know, whatever. That it might work.
Yeah.
He had to make sure that shit worked before he blew his cover. Otherwise, I mean, like, if it doesn't work, he doesn't blow his cover. He gets to stay, you know, he gets to stay feeding secrets to Hydra.
And I guess that's also one of the big changes. Like, he doesn't wait. He decides, well, they're getting the serum regardless. Like, they want the serum, so they're going to blow up the lab, kill the doctor, and just take the serum and get back to Germany. So, again, another divergence from that original thing.
Yeah.
So now the machine, they shoot the doctor. The army guy that gets shot is actually supposedly Tommy Lee Jones' character from the movie.
Right, right.
Because he gets in front of Peggy.
Right.
Then the machine blows up. Steve gets out. Well, it doesn't blow up. It just everything else blows up around. He gets out of the machine. He gets shot.
Yeah.
Peggy goes up to check on him, and they're like, we've got to do this now. She takes out the German guy.
Right. So he doesn't get away.
He doesn't get away like he did in
Well, no, he didn't get away in the other one either.
Well, I mean,
he died.
Yeah, he did die, but like he didn't even make it out of the building.
Yeah, he didn't make it out of the building. No.
And then they're like, we got to do this now. You know, if we don't do it now, everything's gonna be for nothing. So she decides.
Why was it had to be then?
Because I think the machines were about to overload or something. And
I don't know. Maybe so. I mean,
another thing they don't go into detail.
It's a 35, 40-minute show. Yeah, I think we might be expecting too much, but I mean, don't try to pretend it's more.
Yeah, they take the important elements out of the Captain America First Avenger movie and condense them into 30 minutes, which is another thing people didn't like. They're like, the episode felt rushed.
It's a 40-minute show.
It's a 30, 40-minute show at best. It's like you can't do the whole – you can't redo the whole Captain America movie with Peggy Carter, because then you'd be like, why couldn't they do something different? Why they had to just basically do the
right,
same movie?
Right, right. And that's the thing, though, is so what we see happen is Peggy gets in there, she does the thing, and it works. Now, she was already a healthy person in good shape.
Yeah.
She did not have any deficiencies. She was already a good person. She was a member of the military.
Which is why the serum worked, because a lot of people were saying that too. Like, the serum worked for Steve Rogers because of who Steve Rogers was.
I think the serum would have worked on anyone. I think the reason that we think the Captain America is so special to Steve Rogers is that that was the only one that they got to do with that specific serum and procedure.
Okay.
And it worked, right? I mean, technically, the Red Skull got all the superpowers and everything. He was just a lunatic, and there was a deficiency in the formula at that time that turned his face into a skull.
But you also have to think about this in the sacred timeline with Bucky. They experimented on Bucky before Cap rescued him. Now, not with the super soldier serum, because
it's not the same serum. It is not the same procedure, because it's not the same doctor. The doctor didn't have that stuff provided. They had to they had to reverse engineer what he had created, right? So there was always going to be a potential for, you know, something that was wrong. And that's why you saw these failed experiments over time, you know, throughout the rest of the MCU. But anyway, getting back to that, if, let's say, and I guess we could do another what if this all doesn't go sideways and the guy doesn't blow the shit up and there's not just one Captain America, there could have been a bunch of them.
Yeah.
If this shit works. Obviously, it worked. Well, I mean, according to this now lore, is that it worked on Peggy. So,
yeah,
you know, it's not about you got to be a little skinny kid. You could have been a big dude, could have been a big healthy guy and just been healthier and stronger and bigger.
So we're saying in this branch timeline, it doesn't matter if you're a good person or not. The serum is going to work regardless of who gets it.
The serum is meant to make a person a peak physical specimen, right?
Yes.
That has nothing to do with about being a good person.
In this timeline, that's...
I don't think that the serum in the original timeline was meant to make you a good person or a bad person.
No, it wasn't meant to make you that, but the qualities of the person, according to Dr. Erskine, it makes that serum successful. That's why, even though it took them brainwashing Bucky to make him bad, because he was internally always a good person. And that's why the Super Soldier series that they did, which you saw in Captain America Civil War, with all the other people, they were just, like, not good people.
Okay, but technically, in the technical sense,
yeah,
giving people their peak physical human abilities, the serum works.
Yes.
Okay? The good person part of it is just what you do with it once you have it.
I think that holds in this timeline. I think in the sacred timeline, it's different. That's just my opinion.
That's just my opinion is no. When they always say it augments who you are, if you're a good person, you get it better. If you're a bad person, a good person is going to see the good that they can do with these abilities. Not so much that it makes them better as a person, it just gives them more chances to do good things. Whereas a bad person or someone with a bad, you know, inner, I guess, I don't know, personality or whatever, they're now going to go, well, shit, I can get away with so many more things because of this ability. That's just the way I've always seen it. We don't need to sit on this for too long, but that's just my opinion. No, anyway, so it works.
One final thing on that. Let me get one final thing in. Going back to the Falcon and Winter Soldier, discussion with Zemo and Sam and Bucky talking about Cap. It was like, the serum only worked for one guy.
But
technically it didn't. It worked for Bucky and it worked for Isaiah Bradley. But in that whole squadron they tried it on, out of everyone in there that it got experimented on, they all died. Isaiah Bradley didn't.
Well, but that's because they did not have the perfected formula. They were experimenting to create the formula.
So,
see what I'm saying?
I get that.
So if Erskine doesn't die.
What if?
Yeah, I mean, what if? What if?
What if?
I can't do that voice, the Watcher. What if?
Dude, Jeffrey Wright is the Watcher.
Anyways.
See how amazing that is?
So, my point is, if Erskine doesn't die, and he is able to take the success that he has in infusing the serum and the procedure to make Steve Rogers Captain America, and he doesn't get killed, and he can keep providing the serum, and they can keep handpicking people to take this and, you know, and have this, give this ability to, it's not going to necessarily mean that they're going to all just be super great guys like Steve Rogers. It just means you're going to have a bunch of super soldiers that wouldn't have had the side effects. You see what I'm saying?
Like
the potential side effects of killing people. Anyways, we're getting into this too far.
That's the what if I want to see. What if Dr. Erskine didn't die?
Well, there is the question.
What if episode.
That'd be a great what if episode because you'd have a world full of fucking super soldiers is what you'd have.
And I want to see the fallout from that because that's got to turn bad.
And it would eventually go black market and eventually there'd be, and I mean, it's an inevitability, you know, the power vacuum, whatever.
So that happens. Another thing, what I didn't understand, and I'm assuming it's because maybe they're going to do something with this character later on in the MCU, but why did Peggy Carter call herself Captain Carter instead of Captain Britain? Now, there's a Captain Britain in the comics.
Right.
It's Brian Braddock. His sister Betsy is Psylocke with the X-Men. She was a mutant.
No, I remember.
But like I don't like
Steve Rogers. Steve Rogers didn't name himself Captain America.
No.
He was given that name as part of the war bonds thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Peggy Carter is already a military member. She's already a member of the military in whatever I don't know what branch she's in, but she is.
Yeah, it's before.
So it wouldn't be about like let me be somebody that's you know let me be the symbol of Britain. Steve Rogers was meant to be a symbol. not originally as an actual wartime combatant, you know. Well, I guess if all things go to plan and Erskine has more time and people, differently. But this, you know, he was created as part of a war bond scheme, you know. Like, I say created. I mean, they took the persona and created the persona.
Yes.
And he could have just joined the military and been Captain Rogers instead of Captain America. The reason the Captain America thing sticks was because that's what he was performing as.
Yeah.
You know?
I just wondered that. I didn't know if there was a reason why she wasn't deemed Captain Britain, or it's because like they're saving Captain Britain for something in the MCU.
Maybe she's just who she is. And I do like the fact that the dynamic between her and Steve doesn't change just because she's the one that got the serum and he didn't. I think that they, you know, obviously care for each other. And you see it play out. You know, they even have some of the same classic lines from the first Avenger, the whole, you know, dance partner and all that other stuff.
Yes, I like that. What do you think about Tony Stark's dad creating the first Iron Man?
Well, to get to that, we need to go back to them going and just grabbing the Tesseract and just being like, hey, we're going to go ahead and take this. Because
what a great scene with her, like when she hits that one truck and flips it over her head.
Oh, yeah, like, spectacular.
Yeah.
I mean, that fight scene, that animated scene was fantastic. That was great.
The animation in the series is incredible.
Really,
it's
really
so
great.
Good.
But so without the time lost of Steve Rogers going back to the States and traveling around the country and trying to drum up war bonds and da da da, all of that time that was lost there is no longer lost. She is already on the ground in the fight, so she can get to the Tesseract faster than before they can start doing anything with it.
Yeah. Didn't build any weapons with it.
Didn't get to build any weapons. The Valkyrie program and any of that stuff. None of that stuff got to start because she was just like, swoop, I'm going to take that.
Yeah.
And I'll be on my way. But then that throws the time off because then she goes and frees what becomes the Howling Commandos. And they're in the same prison that Steve saved them from.
Yeah.
And how long had they been there before Steve saved them?
And that we don't know. We know that
because they didn't start experimenting on Bucky in this timeline.
Exactly.
At that point, at least.
Exactly. They didn't get to him in time. But them getting the Tesseract and then Howard building an Iron Man, basically like the armor that Tony builds when he's held captive by the Ten Rings.
Yeah.
And put Steve Rogers in it.
Right.
Which I thought was a nice twist to have Steve inside this Hydra Buster armor.
Yeah.
And the shot where she jumps on the back of him and they're flying.
He's got a handle welded to the back.
It's like, this is brilliant. Like, this is so good.
Yeah. And I was just like, man, what are they? And I was like, oh, they actually just stuck the Tesseract in there.
Yeah.
And the Tesseract is powering the whole thing. Okay.
Yeah. Like, how
sure.
How did you figure out a way to use it you knew it was going to work as a power source?
It's a cartoon.
Yeah, it's a cartoon.
It's not just a comic book. It's a cartoon.
Yeah. But let's talk about the Red Skull's motives. It seems a little bit different in this timeline than in the Sacred timeline because he's calling his champion from the stars. He's not trying to build these weapons so he can take over the Third Reich and be the supreme ruler. Like, he's calling on an otherworldly being to come down to be his champion.
It's Hive.
You know what it is? And I was thinking, because I was like, this is going to be the Chitauri or something coming through the portal when he finally gets the cube back. And we'll talk about how that happened in a minute. But what comes through there was just all these tentacles. I'm like, did he call Cthulhu through this thing?
Right, he did.
You know what it is?
It's Cthulhu.
No, it's not Cthulhu. Remember the beginning of Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Remember the giant tentacle thing?
The energy thing?
No, the tentacle thing. They were
it was an energy leech. It was trying to get to the batteries.
I think that's what it was.
I don't know. I don't think so. And the only reason I say that is it looked more Kraken-esque. And, you know, Hydra's whole shtick is the octopus or whatever, but it's really, it's meant to be like the Hydra of mythology. You know, you chopped one head off and two would grow. Yeah. But their logo is an octopus, which
it's
is
like
funny.
A skull with tentacles.
Yeah.
But let's talk about how Red Skull got the Tesseract back. So they recreate the whole train sequence.
Right.
Where in the sacred timeline, Bucky, quote unquote, dies.
Right.
So this one changes with Steve in the Hydra Buster armor jumping onto the front of the train while they zip line down on top of it and him seeing that the whole train is rigged to blow.
Right, yeah. Best part of that entire sequence is when they land and Bucky almost falls and she pulls him up and he says, "You almost tore my arm off."
Yeah, he's like, "Thanks, you almost tore my arm off."
I was like, it was the right arm and everything.
Yeah,
correct arm, not the right arm, the left arm.
So the train blows up. They all get off except for Steve. Steve is lost in the explosion. You think he's dead, but we see later on that that was the plan all along to sabotage that train so they can get the Hydra Buster because they knew it was being run by the Tesseract and getting the Tesseract. So now we're back in the castle. Red Skull is like, "My champions arrive, everybody. I'm about to kick everybody's ass." Wrong. Wrong. Tentacles grab his ass and crush him. And I love Howard Stark's reaction. Like, "Whoa!" So good. I was like, because that would be your reaction. First, you're in shock because these giant tentacles are coming through this portal.
Yeah.
And then you see him squish this dude.
They've already seen some crazy shit.
Yeah.
Here's some crazier shit. Exactly. And it's 1940 whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Super crazy.
Yeah. So they're trying. Howard has to go push some buttons. Try to figure
He's the button
out.
Guy.
He's the button
I'm
guy.
Not this guy. I'm the button pushing guy.
Yeah. And she told him, like, "We might need you to push a button."
Yeah.
Sure enough, they need him to push a button. The Howling Commandos, led by Bucky, go and find Steve, get him out of there. He gets into the suit. They energize it. They charge it enough to where he can go up and try to help.
What did they charge it with?
Whatever it was hooked up to in that machine, I guess.
Oh, I guess so. I guess so.
Whatever that was supposed to be, I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. The first, he just falls.
Yeah.
Like big.
I'm good.
Big, just giant pile of rocks.
Which I would think that's what would happen. So he ends up getting up there to help Betty. Betty.
Listen, Becky.
Betty. Peggy. And where's my brain? And falls short, and she ends up getting sucked into the portal going.
She drives that thing into the portal, sir. It.
I love her pulling the sword out like Excalibur.
Yeah, so I saw one of the reaction videos like, "What's a sword just hanging around?" And we're like, "Well, it is a castle in the 40s.
It's a medieval castle. Why wouldn't it be?
You know, it might have a sword. And, you know, as strong as she is, that sword didn't even have to be sharp.
No.
Because, like, you know, the scene where she was throwing weights and embedding them in the wall.
Dude.
If you're that strong, a butter knife can decapitate someone as strong as that person is. So
the whole scene when it gets to the castle and she's taking out all the guards. Like,
yeah.
It's... Badass.
Oh, my favorite scene is when she's jumping from plane to plane.
Oh, yeah, through the air.
And when she goes onto that one and the shield hits the propeller and just turns the propellers into, like, something out of, like, you'd see in, like, a Looney Tunes cartoon. little bitty cut pieces of propeller.
She's straight up killing these people.
Oh, the guy, I mean, she bodied.
She threw one dude out of the plane. You see him.
She bodied so many people. She put so many bodies down, bro.
Yeah.
She is like she worked at a daycare. She was putting everybody down.
Oh, damn. All right. That's where we're going. So Peggy pushes whatever the monster is through the portal. She disappears through the portal and ends up in the shield facility that you see at the beginning of the Avengers. That's the facility.
No. I understand that. But I mean, I guess for her, it's almost instantaneous.
Pretty much, yeah. So it's like they.
Because she hasn't aged.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't know how long she was.
We don't know what kind of dimension she was in, and it might have been a straight shot.
Time works.
You know, time is funny. Timey wimey. That's a completely different thing.
Wow. All right. So she ends up in the present day with Nick Fury and Hawkeye.
Yeah.
And my question is, if she gets pulled into that whatever dimension is that monster came from, who forms S.H.I.E.L.D.? Because she initially formed S.H.I.E.L.D. in the sacred timeline. So who is the catalyst? Is it Steve?
It's got to be Steve, and it's got to be Steven. Steve, Bucky, maybe Stark.
Maybe so.
I mean, she was the driving force because of the loss of Steve Rogers.
Yeah.
But I would assume, be the driving force with the loss of her. You know, he was always smart. It wasn't that he wasn't smart, you know. And you had Bucky there, you know, and then you've got Stark with the technology. They kept the Tesseract, obviously.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of, I mean, I would think that that's where
there's
it came from.
Ifs.
There's a lot of what ifs in the what if. But I think that's where it came from.
Yeah.
Overall, it was a fun episode.
I thought it was really good, man. I don't understand people complaining about pacing and like it was rushed and the story wasn't that
well.
Well,
they covered a lot of area.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they did it well.
Yeah, I mean, anytime that you have a variant to a story, there's going to be changes, but there's a lot of things that are going to be the same.
Yeah. That story, though, you have to kind of stick to the nuts and bolts of it. That's hard to go like, all right, we create Captain Carter, and then we go a different route. You still have to deal with the Red Skull, the Tesseract, and all that, because it's very – her character is essential to the What If series. She's going to be the only one that repeats in this series, even in Season 2, which they have announced. They've greenlit a Season 2 for the show, and she is the backbone of this. So you've got to keep it somewhat in the same vein as the original one. The other ones, they can do whatever they want.
I've been watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Not to diverge too much, but there is a very good point in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. concerning time stream, okay? And if you haven't watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I'm going to try not to do any spoilers, but there's a character who comes back in time from the future. And then at a later date, more people end up doing time travel. And they're wondering how much effect they're having on the time stream or the timeline, to which the guy's like, look, you ever seen a stream and it's a stick in the stream? Like, a single stick in the stream might make a few ripples and changes, but it's still going to travel the same direction as the stream. For the most part, everything else is going to be the same. Everything else is going to, just the smaller ripples might make some changes, but for the grand scheme of things, most things will be the same. When you make big waves, or you put a bunch of sticks that are changes in the timeline, then it starts to dam up and it changes the flow. That's where you get variant timelines, and that's what happens. So you can have small variants, and then you can have big variants.
Yeah.
Right? So a big variant would be Erskine doesn't die, his technology becomes perfected, and we now have the ability to create superhumans just on a whim.
Yeah.
That is a giant divergence.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's kind of, I only brought that up to say time stream is going to continue in a direction regardless of small changes. Most things will stay the same.
Yeah.
Small things will make small impacts in a local, and there might even be, you know, farther reaching things. But unless it's a big thread to pull, there shouldn't be big changes.
Agreed. Real quick before we jump into episode 2, your thoughts on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Did you finish it? Are you still watching?
I am finishing the last season.
Okay.
What do you think? I've enjoyed it. There's a lot of it that is definitely made for TV, and you have to remember that. I try to keep that in mind.
First season's a little tough to watch.
First season, you know, actually, second season, anyway, it you get invested in the characters, but just like anything in any Marvel universe, the suspension of disbelief needs to be strong, because you have to imagine not our current world. You have to imagine a world where people have powers and people, you know what I mean? Like, you got to put some things aside and just go, okay, alien technology or this or that, or the ability to do, you know what I mean? Like, you got to throw a bunch of stuff away and just go, okay, you know, I'm in. It's fantasy. Yeah. That's what it is.
I thought it got stronger after Captain America Winter Soldier with the dismantling of S.H.I.E.L.D. became a stronger show. I enjoyed the Ghost Rider storyline. They bring in the Darkhold and all that. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just like anything else in Marvel's or any story, really, there's always, in my opinion, something that is just too convenient.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so let's move on to episode 2 of What If with... What if T'Challa would have been taken by the Ravagers instead of Peter Quill? Love this idea. Thought it was well executed. The story was really great. What blew my mind was Thanos being part of the Ravagers. I did not see that coming at all. Like, I had no... I knew Thanos was going to eventually show up somewhere in this series, I did not think he was going to show up in episode two as part of the Ravager team. What did you think when you first saw that? How did your brain comprehend that?
I love Chadwick Boseman. I love his portrayal of T'Challa. I love what they did in Black Panther. I love the arc that they gave him in the rest of the movies. I thought this was a little bit of a little too heavy. I just felt like they wanted to do justice to him. They wanted to give him some sort of send-off in their own way. And I felt like it was too much. Because I might be just this completely negative person. And I might just expect confrontation and friction throughout just because life is like that. But to tell me that this guy, this kid, gets picked up, and not only does he change the entire Ravager team of Yondu to a bunch of, happy-go-lucky, let's go rob from the rich and give to the poor, but Thanos as well? No, I'm sorry. It was too much. I love the idea of it, man, but it is not. I cannot let my head go, oh, yeah, that's completely, even in the what if, that's completely believable. No fucking way.
I thought it was cool. I mean, this was obviously all done before Chadwick died, so there's no way they could have changed anything post him doing his voice work.
Was that him doing his voice
work? No, that was him. This is his last performance. This was his last performance before he died. So this wasn't done after he died. This was pre-Chadwick Boseman's death. This was done. This story was locked in and done. So they're just using the concept of T'Challa being that influential and, I guess, that important that he could come in and change. And also, we don't know if he changed the Ravagers like that. We don't know. They're guns for hire. They could have been doing that before they picked him up. Got to remember.
The job that they were doing when they picked him up
to bring the Ego
was to get Peter Quill to give him the Ego. Yes.
Same job
that the quote unquote, bad Ravagers, the space pirate Ravagers were doing.
They're hired guns. But it doesn't matter if they're good or bad, they're hired guns. In this timeline.
But they had a code. Now, remember they had a code, and that was the thing that got Yondu's team of Ravagers kicked out of the grander group of Ravagers. Because there's not just Yondu's team. There are multiple groups of Ravagers.
Yes.
Okay, clans or whatever they might call them.
There's a club.
I guess. I mean, it's like motorcycle clubs that are all under
local 316.
Yeah. It's like, we're this bike, we're the Hell's Angels Baton Rouge chapter, and we're the Hell's Angels New Orleans chapter. Well, we're the Ravagers, whatever fucking chapter. But they had a code, and that's what got Yondu kicked out of it. Is he broke the code? He brought kids into it, and that was what got him in trouble. So he wasn't doing good things when they found him. Okay, when he found, if this is the same thing and everything else is the same except that he picks up T'Challa instead of Peter Quill, then he's not going to be, he's going to turn around and give that kid back. He's like, go get the right kid, right?
But he didn't.
But he didn't. I understand that that's the what if. And I understand the goal is to say, what a unifier this person might be. T'Challa would be this, universal unifier. And you know what? Maybe so. But I just find it hard to not expect. I mean, to say, okay, yeah, he convinced all of these people that were doing their own things and living their own life. I mean, one of the characters of the Ravagers is Taserface, right?
Well, he was part of the crew in
right. Two. Yeah, and he was the one that was always against the captain being so easy on Quill. And I mean, you're telling me the guy that led the damn mutiny. It's like, okay, I'm going to let a little kid tell me about being nice, and we're always going to be nice, and look at what we're going to do that helps so many people. I mean, I don't know. I just find it hard to accept, even in this setting. I don't see Thanos letting go of everything that he had believed up to that point. And this is beyond, this is past the point of his planet being destroyed, right? Because he came up with these ideas after his planet was lost, after Titan was lost. So this is post-destruction of Titan Thanos, and you're going to tell me that he just got talked down?
Well, he came up with the idea because of Titan. That was his thing. It wasn't after Titan. He initiated it on Titan.
But I'm saying at this point, when he would have joined them, and even if it had been 10 years prior, Titan was gone.
We don't know that in this time.
Yes, we do, because he was doing shit already. He already had, because he had Nebula. She was his daughter.
Yeah, but she wasn't experimenting on like she was so much in the old timeline, because he was trying to enhance her and make her the perfect assassin.
No, so, not as much. But I mean, you don't see the other girl,
Gamora.
Which means that he didn't go off completely off the rails and go killing her. But what I'm saying is at this point that he would have been talked out of this idea. I just don't see it, man. I don't see it. It don't make sense. It does not make sense.
I think they got to him before he fully believed in his plan. It was an idea. It was a thought. And I think they were able to convince him, like, no, this is genocide. And that's the running joke throughout the episode.
Some joke.
It's like, that sounds a lot like genocide. And he's like, no, it's random.
Right.
It's like, no, it's genocide.
I mean, even if he had not fully implemented that, you hear he's like, take it from me, you know, the black...
The Black Guard.
Black Guard is bad news. I mean, he would have...
I love that fight scene with them. That was great.
Yeah, but okay. I guess I was like, man, Thanos is getting his ass kicked. Was he really that tough? This is a guy that can handle all six Infinity Stones, and you're telling me he's getting thrown around like this?
In this timeline, maybe not so much.
Man, I just had some issues. I'm just saying, man.
No, that's good.
I love Chad. I don't want anybody to think for a heartbeat that I don't like the character of T'Challa or the arc that they gave him in the movies or Bozeman as an actor or any of those things. I love all of that, and I want him to be remembered fondly, not just for this, but for the other things that he's done. But in the MCU, that's a pretty strong legacy to have been, you know, the Black Panther. And I don't know, man. It just felt a little forced to me.
Okay. I like the idea of the Collector as the big bad guy being more than what he was portrayed as in the regular MCU.
Well, I mean, he's a celestial, right?
He's a pawn shop owner.
No, he's a celestial.
The Collector, yeah, I think so.
The Grandmaster and the Collector are
brothers.
Are brothers.
Yeah.
So Grandmaster's tough and, you know what I mean, strong. He's weird in the movie, but, you know, but this is the comic book version. Big, strong, you know, dangerous person.
Yeah, more physical for sure.
Yeah,
I like bringing in Howard the Duck and making him more a part of the story. I feel like we're going to see more of him at some point. I don't know why.
Did Seth Green do his voice again?
I believe so. A lot of the voices were done by the actual actors. I know for Drax, it was not Dave Bautista.
No, you could tell it wasn't Bautista.
I think it was Karen Gillan doing.
No, it was Karen. That was definitely Karen Gillan doing.
Definitely Josh Brolin doing Thanos. That's Michael Rooker doing.
You said Gamora.
No, I'm sorry, not Gamora. Nebula.
Nebula.
That's Michael Rooker doing his character.
Yep. Yeah. I think the guy, I don't know if the guy that did Craglin? Craglin.
Yeah, that's James Gunn's brother, so probably, I would think, yeah. Probably
maybe,
so.
Maybe not. But anyway, and that was Brolin doing Thanos.
Yeah, that was definitely Josh Brolin doing Thanos.
You know, it's cool that they've got the original actors. I mean, the whole first scene where he's going to steal the thing, and the guy's like, you know, oh my God, Star Lord, and he fangirls out over him and everything.
No, you weren't digging.
I just wasn't digging it, man. I just wasn't feeling it. I mean,
I thought it was funny. I thought it was a nice little twist because in Guardians of the Galaxy, he's like, who the fuck is Star Lord?
No, and that's cool. Like, if he would have known who he was, or you know, already to say like he had had so much more success at being this galactic figure,
yeah,
that's great. But all these other things just felt a little over the top to me.
All right. Well, I can't expect you to like everything.
I mean, I don't like everything.
I know this is true. You had to have liked, though, at the end, speaking of Star-Lord, Peter Quill showing up.
Oh, my God, my chair just fell.
What's happening over there?
I pressed the button and the chair fell out from under me. Oh, Jesus.
You okay? Don't press the button.
Don't press the button.
Don't press the button. The shiny happy button.
The red.
Jolly candy-like button.
The red button.
Oh, no, we're going to ring Snippy.
No.
You got to like Peter Quill at the Dairy Queen and then Ego showing up at the
end. I did like that. That was cool.
What if they do something with that? How does that work?
What if they do that?
What if?
Everything ends because he's not going to be smart enough. Maybe not smart enough, but he's not going to have the familiar or the
he's not going to have the experience of being
family. Yeah. He's going to get fooled completely.
Yeah, because maybe
he's going to be given. He's going to be given some ability. No, his mother's not going to be alive.
We don't know that.
No, because he still would have killed her before when he was young. Not Peter Quill, but the other guy. Yeah, he would have given him cancer.
Yeah, maybe so.
But he would have come back around to him. You know, he'd come back for him. I think he's totally gets snowed under, and the guy's like, look at all this power and everything we got. And he'd be like, yeah, man, power. I work at a fucking Dairy Queen. Cool. Give me the power. Okay. The world and the universe is over.
But the thing is, he wanted Quill's power because, well, no, you're right. Never mind. I was coming up with a dumb theory that made no sense. Scratch it. Don't even think about it. All right. So those are the first two episodes for What If. Episode 3 next Wednesday is going to be Loki. It's going to be Loki on Earth.
Interesting.
So
I'm trying not to just see any who's going to be or what it's going to be or any of that. I'm trying to just stay off of it. I want it to be as surprising as possible.
Yeah. Well, I read an article then where Marvel had released the titles of the first three episodes like a while back. So
right.
I knew this was going to be the lineup. I am dying for the zombie one. I want to see that one so bad because if they do it like Robert Kirkman's book, that's going to be super interesting. But they probably won't. They're going to stick with the MCU style story. But man, just the thought of Marvel zombies on the screen is going to be pretty badass.
So, anyways, thank y'all for listening.
Yeah.
And
did you say we had an email?
We did. We had an email.
Yay, email. Remember the email.
An email. And that email came to, what's the email, Charles?
Don't ask me.
We have spoken pod 23 at gmail.com.
I did remember it. Look at that.
It was from Patrick.
Just Patrick, no last name?
It's Patrick from freaking Texas, man.
Patrick from Texas, okay.
Man, come on. Baylon. Baylon. Patrick Baylon.
Got it.
Patrick. He's got us an email that says, you know, asking if we'd seen What If today. And he loved it and he was missing the podcast. And I sent him a message back right before we started that said, about to record right now. So here's his thoughts. He sent us something back.
Okay.
Outstanding. I loved the episode. Can't wait to hear what y'all think. Sorry, Patrick. I broke your heart. To me, it was a loving farewell that using a different context shows use what we missed out on. Or, you know, T'Challa could have used his leadership to remake the world, but also Chadwick Boseman still had so much to give. And he also liked his Star-Lord uniform, which was a little bit more purple and gold, which, you know how we do that. Go Tigers. So, I agree that T'Challa was an incredible leader and not just, you know, as the king of Wakanda, but just as part of that team of people in his family. He was caring and he was able to give of himself, and he looked for ways to give back to others. And anyway, to that end, I've said what I was going to say about it. I mean, I've said how I feel about Chadwick Boseman, the actor. I've said how I feel about T'Challa, the character. I've said what I feel about this movie or this episode of What If. But we want to know what you think, and we would love to hear from you. We have spokenpod23@gmail.com. You can get some real-time reaction to your email. How you like that?
It would depend on if you send it, you know, Saturday. You're not gonna get it. Not so time. As quick as we could possibly give it to you.
Yep.
So we'll be back next week for episode 3, which, as I said, is going to be about Loki on Earth. So pretty curious about how that's going to turn out. So until next time, remember to subscribe on all the podcasts. Well, listen on all podcast outlets. But if you subscribe, smash that subscribe button. It's going to be super easy when we drop new episodes. You'll get an alert, and you'll know, hey, time to listen to a new episode.
Yeah, do that subscribe thing, because, you know, like when we put stuff out, and it's like right there in your feed, and you go, oh, yeah, these idiots.
Yeah,
they're talking again.
These two talking goobers.
These two talking monkeys. Also, everybody be safe out there, please. Be careful. Yeah. Stay healthy.
Yes.
Take care of you and yours. And, you know, let's keep working on it. We're getting there.
Yeah, so we can all go be in theaters and watch Shang-Chi. Or Shang-Chi. It's being pronounced Shang-Chi. I thought it was Shang-Chi for years, but everybody's pronouncing it Shang-Chi.
I mean, when you read something, you put it in your own pronunciation.
Sure.
Enunciation.
This is correct.
I got Patrick's last name wrong last time. It's Bailon.
Yeah. Kevin Feige said Shang-Chi, so I'm going to go with that. They did a world premiere Monday of it in Los Angeles. Early reviews say the movie's phenomenal. It's doing a great it's a great job moving from phase 3 into phase 4.
Yeah.
And there's two after credit scenes. So
yeah, I heard it's time frame wise is after the Endgame blip.
Yes.
That brings everybody back.
Yes.
So if you were wondering where we were in the timeline for that, there you go. There's something that just I ruined it for you.
If you wanted
to, you're welcome.
Surprise. We just ruined it. So sorry, we didn't even give you a spoiler alert or anything. So.
Oh, just rewind it and say forget it. Forget what I said.
Never mind.
Fuck it.
Yeah. Until next time, for Mike Grimmio, I am Chuck P. This is the We Have Spoken podcast. Until next week, this is The Way.